So today I'm going to be interviewing a dear friend of mine, someone I've gotten to know well over the years, travelled a lot with, and I'd like to introduce the lovely Michelle Lovely. But as she comes, I would just like to do this. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Michelle. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Okay. We're going to do this as an interview. Many of us know you as a part of a long-standing church family. But I'm sure that there are many in here that don't know you. So could you start by telling us a little bit about yourself, your family, and how this church has been a part of your life?
Sure. I feel like a bit of a part of the furniture here, really. I've been here so long. But my name's Michelle. I am married to Mark Lovely. That is his name, honest. And we have two children, Sam and Eliza. They're not kids anymore. They're 22 and 19. Don't really know how that happened, but there we go. We've lived in Sheffield forever, basically, apart from 4 years in Ireland, where we left this church, went over there, and then we came back and came home, basically. So I've been part of MCF for, well, it's over 30 years. I'm just going to leave it at that, considering it's my birthday today. I don't want to think about how old that is. Over 30 years. Came as a teenager. And then actually you guys have seen me through all stages of life, teenager, university, year out, getting married, having small children, and then, having adult children. Currently I run a charity called Your Kids Around the World. Probably sick of me harping on about it, but so I do that. That's down in Woodseats, the charity shop. And then I also work for a charity as a project manager, managing relationships with projects here and abroad. That's kind of me.
Brilliant. So you've grown up in a Christian family and in this church. How did your personal faith in Jesus become real to you, and what helped shape it along the way?
So initially, obviously, yes, Christian family. My parents, Graham and Karen Ince, are in the church. I always knew Jesus and was real. It never was an issue for me. He's always been there. But when I was six, Billy Graham came to Sheffield and did Mission Sheffield. And Mum and Dad were leading Doran Totley Christian Fellowship at that time. And they were involved in sort of being the prayer team and the ministry team for that. We had to go two nights, and I'm sure it was because one of the nights they couldn't get a babysitter. But I'm really glad that happened, because that was the night that I decided that Jesus was for me, and I actually needed to make that decision. So that was the start, but obviously as a six-year-old, you don't really know very much, do you? So it was much later, when I was a teenager, and, God had been part of my life for all that time, being in a Christian home, being part of a church, they were church leaders. It's not something that you walk away from, really. It's every day. But when I was a teenager, you hit those times where you start to have to think a little bit more for yourself. So one of the things that was really pivotal for me in my faith journey was that I was just watching telly one day, and some of you will remember Challenge Annika. Yes, loved that program. I thought she was fantastic. But she went out to a Romanian orphanage. And I was just sat there, having quite a nice time watching telly. And she walked into this disgusting place. It was awful. It was absolutely awful. And I am going to cry. Don't worry about it. It's kind of happy tears. Don't ignore it. But I remember just sitting there, and my heart broke. I don't know the way to describe it. And God broke my heart for those children, just seeing the mess that they lived in. And the lack of joy or hope, really, that they had. And I just sat there and I said, God, if you ever give me the opportunity to do something about that, then I'll do it. And I was I'm somewhere between 12 and 14 at the time. And it's kind of a bit of an innocent but possibly loaded prayer. to say that. And I think I probably didn't realise the consequences at the time, really, if I was honest, about what that would mean to do that, to leave family and friends and go out and do something like that. But that was what he put on my heart. So when I was about 14, 15, I started to say to Mum and Dad, you do realise I'm not actually going to be here forever, don't you? I'm going off to Romania. And they were like, oh, okay, yeah, fine. But Jeff and Pauline, bless them, had a contact in Romania for a Romanian charity. And then so the ball started rolling to put that in place, and I ended up out there for a year. But in terms of kind of faith journey, really, the year before I went, I made some really bad decisions. I was 17. I just made some really bad decisions. And so when I did get to go, and I'm really grateful to God that he still got me out there, I got out there, and I was kind of an arrogant teenager at that point. I was like, oh yes, God's going to go and use me, aren't I great? And I got out there, and it was only a few weeks in where actually I realised God had taken me out there to use me, but he'd taken me out there to rescue me from my stupid self. And actually, had he not done that, the rest of my faith journey wouldn't be what it has been, because that year was absolutely pivotal in really planting my feet on the rock and saying, this is my life. This is where I want to put myself. I put myself in Jesus' hands. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, how we look at God's plans and we've got it all wrapped out what it means, and he's like, well, actually, it means something else. You're now married with two children and still very active in Christian charity work, very active, especially through your role chairing the charity shop that supports children overseas. And I just want to say that kids around the world support Seeker overseas and have faithfully over the last few years, and we're very grateful. How do you see faith shaping your leadership and motivation in that sphere? Yeah, you kind of done that. You want to add anything onto that?
Trying to stick to the script. I'm very motivated by the need for us to do better, because there is so much injustice in the world and there is so much inequality in the world. And from my point of view, it's unnecessary, because there is enough. There's enough to go round, but it's distributed really badly. And it's the children that suffer. So, and I kind of have that view of leadership as well, that actually we have to be honourable with what God's given us. And he's given me a leadership role, which I'm a real introvert. I'm not the kind of person to be like, a stalwart leader. I'm not an Erica, and I love you very much. But I try to lead with grace, I suppose, and with relationship. And I think that probably makes me a bit of a soft leader at points and a soft manager, some would say. But I always want to put people first and acknowledge them and try and build them up as well. Because I'm not a leader that leads from the top. I'm someone that will be that person shoving you up the ladder. But to me, that's really important, actually, that we all have skills, we all have gifts. And sometimes because of situations, we're not able to use those, and we need somebody to give us that leg up and that encouragement to go out and be everything that you can be that God's given you, and use those gifts. So I try to lead that way. That said, I don't always get it right. Surprise, surprise. And I'm very grateful to the people that I've got around me. I've got a fantastic board of trustees, of which Dylan Butters is one of them. I don't think he's here yet, is he? And Colin, who's at the back doing PA, is also on the board as well. And I'm really grateful to them, because actually it's very much a team effort. And if you ever try to lead on your own, you're doing it wrong. I think, in terms of that inequality, I've seen so much stuff by going out to lots and lots of different places. And I always think, the faith that you see when you go out to somewhere like Zambia is amazing. There are people living in mud huts with no running water who can't get out the door because they're disabled, and yet they know Jesus. And that really speaks to me. However, I would also say that it should never be a struggle for somebody to survive. And the other thing that was really poignant about going out to Zambia the first time was that everybody we spoke to had a story about death. Everybody. And it wasn't just death because somebody had got old. It was death because of malaria, or death because of, you know, a car accident, or death because they actually, because of poverty. And I think there's no need for that. We should be trying to get people to live their lives that Jesus has given them, but without that desperation, because he has so much more, doesn't he? He gives us so much. And seeing that in that, seeing God in that environment where there is so little, is really powerful. And I would never want to detract from that, but I also don't want to see people struggle so much, because it's horrible.
Can I just ask, kids around the world, how much money did you give? Because I know you support lots of charities, but how much money did you give away to charities that support children, like, for instance, last year? Or
so last year we gave £88,000 away.
£88,000 away, okay. Do you know, amazing, absolutely amazing. Do you know how much you have given away in entirety over the years that the charity has existed?
I'm looking at Colin.
£680,000 given away to charities that support children over the world. I mean, let's just give God the glory for that, because that's absolutely incredible. Okay. So looking back over your journey, from growing up here to overseas mission to family and leadership, as you think back over the joys and challenges and disappointments, what would you tell, I love this question, what would you tell your younger self knowing all that you know now?
I'd probably reprimand myself quite heavily initially, and say stop being stupid. But I'd also say just follow him, follow where he leads. I'm a real, although I'm an introvert, I am a control freak, it has to be said. And I like to know what's happening and where I'm going next and what the plan is. And, you know, and so you don't really get that with following God, do you? You know, he kind of says you've got to leave it up to me and you've got to trust. And I think I'd tell myself, just trust more, you know, and listen more. If you don't know how to listen to God, can I encourage you to learn? Because you really need to. You can't get very far if you don't.
Thank you very much. Okay. Just as we come to the end of this, is there a verse, a thought or truth that has been especially important to you in your life and work?
There is, yes. And I will read it for you. Get into my phone. So I think partly because I do see quite a lot of hard things. You know, it's not easy working with charities that are working with people that are very poor, for want of a better word. But more than that, actually, there's charities that are doing incredible things in Sheffield, not just abroad. But there's a lot of mess that comes with that. And you know, it is messy working with people with addictions. It's messy working with people that don't have what they need and are fighting for their families. It's messy working with people whose children are dying, you know, because of medical conditions or whatever else. And it's really easy to focus on those things. So the verse I'm going to read is Philippians 4. Let me just find it. So it's actually 4-9. And I love this bit. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ. And this is the bit that I really want to point out. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And I just love that, because I just think we could concentrate on all the mess that we see, but actually there's a higher purpose. And we sometimes have to go through that mess to get to see God. And I think we need to fix our eyes on him, don't we? It's as simple as that. Fix your eyes on Jesus.
We want to pray for you.
Thank you.
Is that okay? Yeah, if you want to reach out your hand or whatever, we're just going to pray. This is a great opportunity to pray for Michelle and Mark and for Sam and Eliza. Is there anything specific that we can pray?
You can pray for them because they're not Christians.
Okay, we're going to pray for Sam and Eliza and for the family. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for this lovely lady. I want to thank you for all that you've done in her life, for her story, for her journey of faith, how you got hold of her as a young person, and that, Lord God, you led her to Romania where you changed her from the inside out, and you've not stopped doing that, Father. Thank you for the stories of kids around the world and all that that's achieving and the work that she's doing for this other organization. Lord God, continue to bless the work of her hands, that she in turn would begin to continue to bless other people, other homes in this city and in countries around the world. Father, we pray today for her family. We pray for Mark and for Sam and Eliza. Lord God, I pray that for Sam and Eliza that they would know you, Lord Jesus, as their personal Savior. Father, in the same way that you got hold of Michelle all those years ago, I pray that you would get hold of them and that they would know you for themselves, that they would one day be able to testify like she has, that Jesus got hold of my life and I've never been the same again. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that wherever our young people are, you can reach them. And Father, as we say, pray for Sam and Eliza. There are other people in here that pray for your own children as well. Holy Spirit, that you would meet them wherever they are and intercept their lives and come face to face with them so their lives would have purpose and meaning and have eternal value. We pray for this lovely lady. Lord God, continue to bless her, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Barbara. 2.5 an hour.